Fred Film Radio from Lovers Film Festival, Turin, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Federica Scarpa from the Lovers Film Festival, and today I'm in company of Yosif Vardakis, director of Akoe Amphi, The Story of a Revolution. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
First of all, can I ask you to introduce your film for our listeners?
My film is a documentary about the creation of the first LGBTQ movement in Greece. It was created in 1977, and it was the main LGBTQ movement in Greece until 1990. The story of which had never been told before. Everybody knew about it, and some of the main figures from that movement are still prominent members of the LGBTQ community in Greece. But the story of how they became, how it all began, hadn't been actually recorded. So it was my responsibility and honor, really, to do this, to record it for the first time and research how it started and put dates to things. So that's what the film is about.
What drew you to this particular story, and why did you feel it was important to bring it to light now?
I was a member of ACOE in 1985. I joined ACOE, and I was 18 years old, and it defined the way that I perceive myself, and the way that it defined the way LGBTQ people perceived themselves in Greece in the 80s. I think my generation has been defined by this movement. And I wanted to make this movie since the 90s, but it was really hard to get funding at the time. I've been working in the theater for the last 30 years, and during COVID, there was a program where I could apply for funding for this film, and I realized this had never been done. This hadn't been done yet. So I thought, you know, it has to be done. The story has to be told. I felt very strongly about it because, it really defined the way the LGBTQ movement has moved in Greece up to today. And I felt I owed the community its history. And actually, this is the best, the greatest gratification coming from this film, that the youngest generation knows, and now they thank me for giving them their story, and this actually brings tears to my eyes whenever they tell me this. And I felt it needed to be said. You know, histories of events from the 70s and the 80s have been recorded, but for some reason, the LGBTQ history has been neglected, and it doesn't exist if it's not recorded. You know, so I thought someone has to record it.
What challenges did you face in researching and capturing the history of this movement? Especially considering, I think, the lack of documentation during that time, right?
Well, the challenges were actually many and complex. First of all, a lot of the people who were the founders are not alive anymore. I was lucky to find a series of interviews from one of the main figures that were recorded while he was still alive and had never been used. And also, the people that were alive weren't clear, didn't remember exactly when things happened. For example, they weren't sure exactly when it was formed, when the declaration was written. One of the people I interviewed told me when they went out to give out the declaration, because the first thing the movement did was they printed the declaration and they gave it out in one of the main squares in Athens. Mm-hmm. And they didn't remember exactly when it happened. But one of the people I interviewed told me, we were so nicely dressed. The one of the newspapers said, very well-dressed people gave out this declaration for the liberation of LGBTQ people. So I researched every newspaper from September 1976 to April 1977 until I discovered on April 2nd the newspaper that actually said this. Of course, it was COVID lockdown, so I had a lot of time to do all this research. And also, there were very few photographs, obviously, of things that happened. But I think I found as many as I could by finding old people who actually inherited all the photo reporters, their parents who were photo reporters. They inherited their files. And they were gracious enough to let me research and find as many pictures as I could. And the rest that I couldn't find pictures of, we had a very well-known sketch artist who is actually a trans man do sketches for us that were animated and to you know, visualize this. There were many challenges, but I think we did, you know, the best we could with what we had.
Indeed, the documentary incorporates various narrative elements, archival footage, illustration, interviews. How did you approach the storytelling process to ensure an engaging narrative flow?
Well, the narrative flow, I'm very happy because is very engaging. I discovered that obviously after watching the film with an audience. The final editing period was a crazy period. We wanted to be ready for the Thessaloniki Documentary Film Festival, where we won the Audience Award, which is an award that's very coveted. Everybody would like to get this award every year because, you know, the audience reacts emotionally. And and you want to know that it has an impact. You want to know that what you did has an impact. So we were very happy to get this. Also, the story was a complicated story because the founders were two different people coming from two different backgrounds, and they came together almost by accident. Actually, I should say three different people from three different backgrounds. And I wanted to tell the story of how they came to meet and create this. So it was really complicated to sort out the narrative so that it makes sense. You know, you want to tell briefly the story of three people and how they came to be together and create this. And it was challenging. It was challenging. I didn't want to go back and forth in time, you know, and I didn't want, it wasn't working as three parallel stories. So I started focusing on one of the main characters. And then as he met the other characters, we would hear their story. We would have their story narrated. Yeah, it was, more complicated, to be honest. It was my first film because I've been working, as I told you, in the theater for 30 years. So, and then when I tried to sort out the story so that it would make sense, I was thinking, oh my God, my first film and I have to deal with such a complicated story with three people and 12 years. I should have found one person and just do a portrait, you know, but no, I'm really happy with how it came out.
What were some of the most surprising or enlightening discoveries you made during all this process working on this documentary?
Well, there weren't exactly discoveries, but there were affirmations of things that, you know, we all know, but became clear when doing the film. One of the things that really shocked me was how prevalent internalized homophobia was. Gay people who were not comfortable with themselves and with other gay people. And how that defines our community, base in a basic level, and how hurt our community is, and how we carry this hurt throughout our lives, really. Those were things that shocked me with how prevalent they were. And another thing that really was surprising was how clearly you could see that it looked like there was a masculinity quota. You had to be masculine, and if you didn't meet the masculinity quota, you were exercised. You exercised. You were considered not part of the community, not part of the community, I think is the right word. This toxic masculinity that we say now, how it permeates society, and how much it is afraid of being challenged, those things, those were all surprising things and intense things.
As director of this documentary, what was the impact with the viewers during the screening and, as you said, Thessaloniki, but also the lovers? Were there reactions you wished for your documentary?
The reactions were better than I wished, to be honest. And I did this very emotionally, and I with a lot. I felt very responsible to say things correctly. And people have an emotional reaction to the film. At Lovers, I was told that people were also feeling, these emotions, because sometimes you don't know if what you do would translate to a different country, to a different culture. But I'm very happy that the film translates beautifully, and people receive the emotion that I put into the film, to be honest, mostly, because it wasn't like I was planning on how I wanted the audience to feel. I was just moving with my emotional flow when I was doing it, when I was constructing the narrative. And it's really good to see that this actually bounces off people and it touches them,
I'd say that the dedication in the end is very, very emotional. When you say for those who walked down those steps and those who didn't.
Yeah, you see this. Yes, you're not the only one, obviously, who had an emotional reaction to this specific spot. A lot of people told me that this brought tears to their eyes, that part. And I really didn't realize when I was doing it that it would have this emotional impact. But I understand why it does, because you have to, people had to overcome the block, the fear, and some people didn't make it, didn't manage to overcome the fear of becoming part of the member or part of the movement. So the film works emotionally to people, in many different levels, some of the levels that I didn't even foresee, I didn't plan, but it touches them.
Did the people you interview watch the film?
Oh yes, of course, of course, of course.
What were their
And
reactions?
tears. It was very emotional for everybody, very emotional for everybody, because I really wanted to recreate the feeling of being there, of being part of this, and everybody, memories came back, it was an emotional experience. The first screening where everybody who was interviewed was watched the film was very emotional for everybody, and intense. It was intense. It was intense.
I think you really made it to make a reaction, to make the audience feel as part of the community. So thank you for your documentary.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's it makes me very happy. When you it's a work that has been done with a lot of care and a lot of love, and when that goes, reaches the audience, it's the best reward that your work actually reaches people.
Thank you for being with us, Yusuf.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
And this is Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.